Lord, I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your peace. I thank you for Messiah who took upon himself every sin. Every sin, Lord, that I ever committed was laid on the cross and was taken out with a whip on your back and with nails through your flesh. And so, Lord, I thank you that it is there and it is done away with and it is gone. And like you said in Romans, if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And so I thank you, Lord, for inviting me into that death. And I have to die first before I'm resurrected. I have to. And so, Lord, let me die to myself that I might experience the resurrection. And, Lord, I pray this for all of us in Yeshua's name. Amen. I pray, Lord, that the words that proceed from my mouth and the meditations of my heart would find favor before you. Oh, Lord, my rock and my redeemer, I want to be pleasing to you, Lord God, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. All right, book of Hebrews. We are going to get through two verses today in the book of Hebrews. All right, so let's go to the next slide there. God, having in the past spoken to the fathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, has at the end of these days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. I have to give a little caveat before I begin here, explanation here before I begin. I am not in any way, as I talk about the greatness, or as I explain what I see in the book of Hebrews here about the greatness of our Messiah and the message that he gives, I am not in any way diminishing Torah or the prophets, and the writer of Hebrews is not diminishing them. All that's being said is that what we have received from the very Son of God is so much greater. It's so much greater, right? So let's go ahead and go to the next slide here. It says, God having in the past spoken to the fathers through the prophets. We need to understand a Jewish mindset here of what's going on. It goes on to say, in these last days, right? Or in the end of days, or the end of the, whatever your translation says. And sometimes people wonder, how can Hebrews and Paul say things like, the end of days is here? It's because they're not saying that the world's going to end next week. If so, they would have been wrong because it's been almost 2,000 years, right? Yep. So what are they saying? We need to understand this from a Jewish context. And Judaism understood the world in ages, okay? And so this is from the Talmud here, from Sanhedrin 97a. And it says, for 2,000 years it will be desolate, okay? 2,000 years will be the time of Torah, and 2,000 years will be the days of the Messiah. But on account of our numerous sins, what has been lost of those years in which the Messiah should have come but has not come, according to the Talmud, has been lost. Okay? So the only thing I want us to get from this is a Jewish mindset of the ages, so that when the writer of Hebrews or Paul or Peter says something like the end of days, we're in the end of days, it means we're in the messianic era. It means we are in the day, something major has happened, just like something major happened when God gave the Torah at Sinai. Something major happened when Messiah entered our realm. And sometimes we have this mindset that this, you know, meek little Yeshua came and died for our sins, but the end of the age is really at his return. And that is, of course, will be another major event, the culmination of all things in him. But the Bible teaches that this rabbi, this Yeshua, this priest, this prophet, God himself with us in visible form, that his very ministry started a new era, a new age. The past was God spoke to us through the prophets. Now God speaks to us through his son. Go and go to the next slide. Matthew chapter 11, 9 through 14. Yeshua is going to say something very similar to Hebrews here. But why did you go out? Okay, why did you go and see Yochanan HaMatvil? Why did you go and see John the Baptist in the desert? Okay, why? What drove you out there to see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and much more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Okay, quoting from Malachi. Most certainly I tell you, among those who are born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than Yochanan the Immerser, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of Yochanan the Immerser until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the Torah prophesied until Yochanan. If you are willing to receive it, this is Elijah who is to come. People stumble over I've stumbled over this passage myself before. What does this mean? What is God teaching us here? God is teaching us, Yeshua is teaching us, in essence, the same thing that Hebrews is teaching us, that there was an age of the prophets, and that age of the prophets is culminated in the greatest prophet, who was not Isaiah, and not Jeremiah, and not Malachi, but Yochanan HaMatvil, John the Baptist, the greatest prophet. He's saying John's the greatest prophet. Why is he the greatest prophet? Well, if you look back at Malachi chapter 3, you'll understand why. He's the one that prepares the way for the Lord's coming. The other prophets did as well, but John was right there at that age. He is the greatest prophet. Yeshua is saying John is the greatest of that age. John is the greatest of that age, and that's why he's the greatest among women, but those in the kingdom of heaven, right? Those in this new thing that I'm beginning, this new age that I'm beginning with my ministry, will be even greater than he. And we get caught up, well, does that mean John the Baptist wasn't saved? That doesn't make sense. He wasn't in the kingdom of God. I think we're missing the point. I think we need to see it from that Jewish mindset of the ages. He's simply saying John, as the culmination of the prophetic age, as great as that is, doesn't even compare with the most meek person in the kingdom of heaven, who never gets up and preaches, just simply washes dishes for the congregation. That person has received something greater in this age than even the greatest of the prophets received in the age before. Let's go to the next slide. So let's compare here Matthew and Hebrews. Okay? There are a lot of parallels here. First, we have the idea of an age of prophets. We have John and Matthew as the greatest of the prophets because he's the forerunner of the Messiah. Okay? But now the Messiah is here. Those in this new era, those in the messianic era, those in the kingdom of heaven are greater than the climax of the prophetic era. But the new era is still suffering violence, okay? And translators struggle with the Greek there. The violent take it by force, the violent push it ahead, the violent come against it. In my studies, I've come to the conclusion that it means the violent come against it. So I agree with the commentators who say that. It still suffers violence. Even though this new era has become, you are going to be persecuted, but don't forget to what you've been called, because if you forget it, that violence that the kingdom of heaven suffers, what's the context here? Yeshua is speaking to John's disciples who have come to him because they're teacher is in prison. If this is the new era, why is our teacher in prison? This is a new era. We're still going to suffer the violence, but don't lose the focus. Hebrews, same thing. This is, first we have the age of the prophets, now we have the age of the Son of God who's spoken to us directly. And as we go on in the book of Hebrews, it's going to become very clear these are people that have suffered violence, and they're afraid of suffering more violence, so they're about ready to start leaving. About to start leaving the kingdom of heaven, about to stop fellowshipping together, like it says in Hebrews 10, not to do. Don't, you know, keep gathering together, right? Don't, even though you've suffered violence and you might have more violence on the way, don't lose heart. You've been called to a great thing in the Messiah. Let's go to the next portion. Now, here's where it gets personal for us in a messianic congregation. Because everything I've said could have been spoken in a church. And everybody would be like, yes, the old's done away with, the new's here, etc., etc. We've got to remember that the new has an intimate connection with the old. And sometimes we stress that so much that we forget to live in the new, and it just becomes, you know, the old a little bit different. Okay, it's absolutely new, but sometimes we go too far the other way, and we forget how much the old is planted. The old is the foundation for the new. And this is our message as a messianic movement. Galatians 3, 23 through 26. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, under the Torah, confined for the faith which should afterwards be revealed, so that the Torah has become our tutor to bring us to Messiah, that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all children of God through faith in Messiah Yeshua. Okay, going to go to the next slide. What is the tutor? The Torah. All right, or in Greek, pedagogos, or more in the Hebrew, as Martha pointed out to me last night, right? This is our tutor. Okay? When I teach a class, okay? So I teach middle school. Thanks for your prayers. When I teach middle school, and I have a sixth grade class come in, okay? They don't belong to their fifth grade teacher anymore, right? They're mine for that hour that I teach them. I am their teacher. But do I want them to forget the foundation they got from their fifth grade teacher? Do I want them to forget how to behave in a classroom? Do I want them to forget how to think and use their mental facilities? Of course not. I want them to be intimately involved with what they learned before so that the new becomes even more applicable to their life. So that when I teach about, music in my classroom, that it has a foundation upon which to rest. The Torah is that. The Torah is the tutor. Paul says clearly here, we're not under that tutor anymore. In other words, same as Hebrews, same as Matthew 11, there's a new age. We are under something different here. God speaking directly to us through his Son rather than through the prophets. Okay? But do I want to forget everything I learned from my tutor? Of course not. Of course not. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Okay, so we don't throw out the old. Matthew 13:52, he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been made a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is a householder who brings out of his treasure new and old things. Okay, we still connect with the old, but we've got to bring out new things as well. 2 Timothy 3:15, from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Messiah Yeshua. Do you get that? Paul's talking to Timothy. You've been raised in the scriptures. You had that tutor. Okay, in Greek society, that it was normal for a wealthy family to have a pedagogos, to have, and this is from where we get the English word pedagogue and pedagogy and so forth, that training, it was normal, if I had a lot of money, I hired a pedagogos for my children, so that they would grow up and they would know how to behave in society and how to participate in this and how to understand Aristotle and so forth. They train them, but when they get to a certain age, the tutor goes away, and but they take with them everything that they learned. And who had this in this age? The Jewish people had this in this age. We have all these people coming into the kingdom of God in the first century and in the second century, and we have those who had the tutor, the Jewish people, and we had those who did not have the tutor. We had those who had grown up understanding the righteousness of God because they had the Torah and they had the prophets, and the Gentiles had paganism. The Jewish people should have been the teachers, and the Jewish people were the teachers for a while. And then when that ceased to be, the church went downhill fast because they tried to build the kingdom of God without understanding the foundation. And so we've got to understand the foundation. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. The down arrow. Is there anybody back there? Did I put them to sleep too?
No.
Can somebody? Okay, thank you. All right. We must understand the value of the old. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:16, every scripture is God-breathed, right? Every scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. We learn righteousness from the old. We have to interact with Torah. We have to interact with the prophets, okay? Because this is God-breathed. This reveals the wisdom of God. John 5:39, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these are they which testify about me. We interact with the scriptures because the scriptures lead us to Messiah. We cannot have a full understanding of who Messiah is if we don't have the Tanakh, if we don't have the Old Testament, right? What does it mean he's the Messiah? I have no idea what that means without the Tanakh. I have no idea what that means without the Tanakh. Without Moses promising us in Deuteronomy 18 that a great prophet's coming, without Isaiah talking about atonement, without Leviticus talking about animal atonement, with blood atonement, without Micah talking about the one born in Bethlehem, without all of these prophets, and without the Torah, I don't know what Messiah means. Where's your definition for that? Right? And this is part of our job in the Messianic movement, is to remind the church that all the scriptures give a place, a foundation for everything that's new in the kingdom of God. When Paul says that Messiah is our Passover lamb, how are you going to know what the Passover lamb is if you don't interact with Passover? You don't. So we remind them. Right? We remind them. Okay, that's it. We don't go around calling them pagans because they celebrate Christmas. At least I don't. But we remind them. This Messiah didn't come to fulfill Christmas. Okay, I'm not saying don't celebrate Christmas. That's a family decision. I'm saying that he didn't come to fulfill Christmas. It wasn't around. He came to fulfill Passover. He came to fulfill the Day of Atonement. He came to fulfill and will fulfill Sukkot. This gives us the foundation for all of that newness, so we don't throw out the old. Next slide. Next slide. Thank you. However, we must live fully in the new that the old has led to. And this is where we sometimes also lose balance. Sometimes it's too much new without understanding its grounding in the old, and sometimes it's too much old. Sometimes it is too much old, okay? We have to understand both. What is the newness? The power First of all, the power of a new and better high priest and sacrifice. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctified to the cleanness of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without defect to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That means there is no place, there is no place in the new for feeling shame. It's been taken care of. Or guilt. Now, a little bit of guilt to drive us to repentance, but then you receive it and you move on. Because the sacrifice is so much better. And the high priest is so much better. And the book of Hebrews uses that word over and over again. Not just new, but better. New and improved. This is the perfect high priest. This is the perfect sacrifice. There is no place in your heart, no place in your life for condemnation, for feeling the condemnation. Live in the new. How do I understand that? I understand that, first of all, because I understand the old. And I understand the forgiveness that God offered in the tabernacle, in the temple. And how it was beautiful, but it just wasn't, not everyone had access. He's a fearful God. And so when I understand the holiness of God, and then I understand that I'm invited into his presence, then I understand more fully and I interact more fully with his greatness as the perfect high priest and the perfect sacrifice. In the new, there's no room for you to feel shame or guilt anymore. Let it go. Next slide. Also, in the new is the power of the Spirit of God. He therefore who supplies the Spirit to you and does miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Right? He gives you the Spirit, not by the Torah. We have the Torah. Did we have the Spirit of God? Yes, we had the Spirit of God too. The Spirit of God dwelt with us. The Spirit of God came upon select individuals. But now, those doors have been thrown wide open. Right? The veil has been torn. Now we have access to the very Spirit of God. And all you have to do to get in touch with that is just get on your knees, right? Before the Lord and live in the new. And by that, he gives his Spirit by the Messiah, not by the old, but by the new. But we understand the new because of the old. And the Spirit, with the guidance of the old, will guide us into a righteous life, I should say. But now we have been discharged from the law, okay? Does that mean that we don't interact with the law, with the Torah? Of course it doesn't mean that. Paul himself is the one that wrote, all scripture is God-breathed. All of it's profitable. It just means you're under a new instructor. You're in a new classroom. You're in a new era now. But now we have been discharged from the law, having died to that in which we were held, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit, and not in oldness of the letter. So even as we interact with the letter, even as we interact with what's written, we do it with the Spirit of God within us, right? And so we've got to understand both. We do. We have to understand the new by understanding the old. But as far as where we live, we have to live in the new. Okay, we have to live in the new. Everything has to be colored, influenced, changed by the fact that we are in this new era and that the least of us is greater than the pinnacle of the prophetic age because of the grace of the Messiah. Next slide. Next slide. Thank you. Therefore, let us seek the fullness of what the Torah and prophets have led us to, a life in the new era, freedom from sin in the Messiah, freedom from condemnation in Messiah, the anointing of the Spirit of God in the Messiah, the brotherhood and sisterhood of all who have put their trust in the Messiah. We're going to learn about all these beautiful things as we go through Hebrews. What does it mean to be in that new era? What does it mean to follow righteousness? What does it mean to understand the Torah in the new era? What does it mean to be a part of the family of God in the new era? And it's a great era, right? We just have to live it. We have to interact with it. We have to take hold of what's been promised to us, the very Spirit of God in our midst. Lord, we thank you so much for Torah and for the prophets, and that these things led us to the Messiah. And that in Messiah, we have got newness of life. The old has died. Behold, the new has come, it says in 2 Corinthians. The old has passed away. Behold, the new is here. We are that new creation in Messiah. Teach us to be that new creation. Teach us to be filled with your Spirit, submitted to the Spirit, in line with the Spirit, in step with the Spirit. Teach us to understand the fullness of your forgiveness so we don't walk around with guilt or shame anymore. So, Lord God, free us of the condemnation. Free us of the guilt. Free us of the shame. Let us be that new creation in Yeshua's name. We worship you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, because we didn't enter the new because we're any better than anybody else. We entered the new because of the grace that you showed us and because you loved us and you called us by name. By name he called you. And Lord God, help us to live in the new completely and fully. In Yeshua's name we all say, amen. Amen.